Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? It looks good to see so many of you here. How about the choir this morning? Were you blessed to see the choir? Let's thank the Lord for the choir this morning. A great job on that song. And Brother Danny, thank you, brother, for that wonderful song as well. What a blessing. I don't know how many of you are in a state of discouragement or defeat or whatever, but something, the Lord laid something on my heart a week or two ago that's really been burning in my heart. And I want to share that with you this morning. A few weeks ago, Brother Tim, when I was sick, preached on heaven, did a fantastic job. But I want to come back and kind of consider that thought in a little bit different light. But look in the book of Philippians. May I remind you, this is one of what's called, well, the prison epistle. Paul is in prison. Over the period of time, he's been shipwrecked. He's been stoned. He's been beaten. He's been drug out of the city and stoned and left for dead. He's really been through it. And now he's in prison in Philippi, and he's writing this letter to them. Dr. Warren Wiersbe has a series of books, has great Bible commentaries, but on the epistles, he named every one of them. It started with the word B-E. And when he came to this book of Philippians, he wrote, Be Joyful. That's the name of the book. By Dr. Warren Wiersbe. If you can ever find it, it's a blessing. Be joyful. Here's a man who has been beaten, who's been abused, who's been exiled. He's had everything in the world happen to him. His native countrymen that he loved so much and had a burden they might be saved, they've turned against him. Of course, the Romans, they are against him. And yet he's telling this church at Philippi, be joyful. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. And now, here's one of the things that helps us to rejoice. Look with me, please, in the book of Philippians in chapter number 1. Would you begin looking with me at verse number 19? Paul is talking about his bonds prior to that, which means his imprisonment. And he goes in verse 19, he begins, For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now that salvation he's talking about is his deliverance from that and to continue on with his ministry. Verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed or disappointed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ may be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. Paul had one desire, and that was his Savior could be magnified in his body, and if his death would bring more glory to God, he was willing to do that. He just wanted people to know Jesus. He just wanted them to have a knowledge of what salvation is and the fact that Jesus loved them and died for them, and he wants that to happen whether he lives or dies. And then in verse number 21, this wonderful statement, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For him to live was Christ being magnified in his life. He wanted to live every day. Word of God says, and Paul challenged them, that whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all for the glory of God. And he wanted everything in his life to count for Christ. And so he said, if the Lord lets me live, Christ is going to live in me and reflect out of me. I'm going to yield my life to him. And for me to live is for Christ to be seen and known and received. But for me to die, it's gain. Now, some people teach that when you die, that you are, if you're saved, you go into the grave and you sleep, and you don't know anything. But I don't see that in this particular thought, you know. I see more than that. In fact, look at verse number 22. He said, But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I want not. Paul said, I'm living now, but I'm living in a body of flesh. He just talked about living and dying. He's living in a body of flesh. One of these days, that body will die, but not his spirit, not his soul. What's going to happen to that? It's going to go be with the Lord. And so Paul makes this amazing statement. Here's the text that I want to preach from this morning. He said, For I'm in a strait twixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance and joy of faith. that your rejoicing may be more abundantly in Jesus, more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Paul says, I've come to the place, I'm in a strait betwixt two. That means I'm in a situation of decision almost. I've got this turning point in my life, and I'm in a strait betwixt two things. What? One, to remain in this world. Two, to go be with Jesus. But my emphasis is on the latter part of that decision or that thought. He said, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, I love that statement, don't you? Far better. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would do what no man could do, what I cannot do. I pray you'd make yourself known to people. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would take, fill me, use me for your glory. I pray that Christ might be magnified in my body. And Lord, I pray that through the words that you allow me to say, they'll know Christ. And Lord, for those believers who are here, I pray God the Holy Ghost, Lord, would minister to them. And Lord, I pray God that, Lord, you'd encourage our hearts, Lord, that we might have confidence, knowing that for us to depart is far better. Father, I pray now that, Lord, you'd breathe on every heart, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul was a great warrior for Christ. Never been a preacher like him, hardly, in this world. God used him to write 13 books of this Bible. But yet in this prison, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. He said, I'm kind of in this situation. He said, I've come to the point that I have a desire to depart and to be with the Lord. And here he is, and here is his dilemma. He's been a faithful servant of Christ. He's preached the gospel. He's seen thousands come to know the Lord. He's experienced wonderful thing in Christ. But now his heart is yearning more and more to be with the Lord in heaven. Do you think he's doing that way because he's fearful? No. You think he's doing that because he's tired and wore out and he's just exhausted from the battles? No, I don't see any indication of that when you read through this book. In fact, he's more alive than he's ever been. He's more full of the power of God than he's ever been. He's more full of joy than he's ever been. If he's not tired and is not ready to throw in the towel, is not ready to give up, what is it about him that's causing him? Here's his dilemma. He said, I want to keep on preaching. I want to keep on winning souls for Christ. I want to see God bless people. But he said, more and more every day, I'm getting homesick for heaven. I wonder if anybody here is like that. Would you raise your hand? Be honest this morning. Are you feeling like, boy, listen, with the world situation and sin and what's going on, that's not a bad thing. Matter of fact, the closer we get to it, the more excited we get. When we used to plan vacations for the kids, and we still do, but when we go and say we were going to go to Disney World, and we started a year ahead getting ready, and man, listen, they would count the days, and the closer they got, the more excited they were about getting there. I mean, listen, they were ready to go. In fact, they were ready to go 2 months before we get to go. And you know what I believe happens in the life of real believers? I believe God brings us to that place where we are here to love Him and serve Him, be faithful to Him. But more and more, it's not just an idea of being tired or fatigued or just tired of being sick or whatever, but there's a real desire in our heart to be in the presence of the Lord. We're homesick for heaven. We can't hardly wait to go. I love that song that Squire Parson sang. Some call it heaven, but I call it home. And that gets in us. If the closer we get to Him, I believe the more we long to be where He's at. Oh, listen, he's not discouraged. He's not dissatisfied. He's just desiring to go home, be with the Lord. But now notice what he says about his departure. Not only his desire, he said, I desire to depart. I'm ready to depart. For him, death is a departure. He said that in another passage of Scripture. If you depart, you're going somewhere. I mean, listen, he's anticipating that. He's looking forward to going somewhere. And everybody in this building is going somewhere. Brother Tom Gillum said he was in a meeting some time ago, and an old fella got up to preach, and he said this, you may not believe in heaven or hell, but one thing's for sure, you can't stay here. You're going to go somewhere. And Paul said, I'm going to depart and go be with the Lord. What a wonderful thing. His departure. I'm going to leave out of here. He's anticipating that time when he gets to go be with the Lord. Are you like that this morning? Do you have in your heart that great desire and that for that departure time to get to go be with the Lord? You think about it. What's going to be like? Well, you don't have to think very long, but listen to what Paul said. He describes his destination. When he departs, he's going somewhere. Notice what it says in verse number 23. He says, I am in a strait twixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. I've been saved a long time now. He's blessed me so wonderfully. I've had times when I've read the Word of God and it's so real that it seems as if He was right there with me. In fact, in the person of the Holy Spirit of God, He was with me. But I've never seen Him. I've felt Him so real in my life when I'm sometime by myself, off in other places, in the woods or other places when I'm out. He's been so real, it's almost like I could touch Him. But I've never seen Him, never been where He is. And Paul said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ. His destination is to go where Christ is at, to be where He's at. Now, is Christ asleep in the grave? No, they've already told us the grave's empty. He's not there. So when you die, you're not going to stay in that grave. Your body will be there, but you're going to be where Christ is at. And in the book of 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians 5, he says this. He said, when I'm absent from the body, I'm going to be with Christ. To leave this body behind means you're going to be with Christ. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? Yesterday at Brother Gerald's funeral, the family had talked about how he loved to travel, and then they scrolled the pictures of all different places they'd been. And man, he had traveled with his family to so many destinations here in this nation. And I've been blessed to see some beautiful sights and scenery. I've been to Niagara Falls. Anybody ever been to Niagara Falls besides me and Tim? Oh, quite a few of you have. If you've never been, I can't tell you about it. When we pulled up in the parking lot, it's almost like you can feel the ground rumbling. And the closer you get, the louder it gets. And then you begin to feel this kind of real cool atmosphere. And as you get closer, you begin to see the steam or the water vapor coming up. And to walk up and see that massive fall, there's no way to describe it, no way to, in human term, you've got to be there to see it. Can you imagine? We've studied about heaven. We've talked about being in the presence of the Lord. How would you describe it? Well, Paul describes it in this way. Look at it, not only his destination, but now his description of what it's like to be at that destination. Read verse 23 again. For I'm in a strait twixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul says heaven is far better than anything we've ever had down here. Far better. You just think about it. He didn't say it's just better. He uses this descriptive word, far better. And here's the amazing thing about the Greek text. This word far is not like 5 miles further or 10 miles further. It is this idea. It is infinitely better. In the Toy Story, the guy says, to infinity and beyond. And he said, it is infinitely better. He said, there's no way in a human frame that we can describe what it's like when we get to heaven. He said, it's going to be far better. I tell you one thing, we're going to have a better body when we get to heaven. Thank God. I'm thankful for you being here today. And I know you're all blessed just to know the Lord. But some of you know that our bodies are waning. And we have a body that's limited, even at our best. I mean, when we're in our youth and we're strong and active and able to do anything we want to do. You know what Paul Hyde described in 1 Corinthians? He said he's talking about the coming back of the Lord. And he said, we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And he's talking to people of all ages, boys and girls, men and women. Your body is corruptible. What's that mean? It means it's deteriorating over the years. It's a constant deterioration. But listen, he said, when you get to heaven, you're going to have a far better body. He describes it in so many ways in 1 Corinthians and other places. I don't want to go into detail this morning, but one simple statement he makes is satisfactory for me. He said that when you get to heaven, you're going to have a body like in His glorious body. I mean, you're going to have a body just like Jesus. You think about the body He had when He came out of that grave. He walls were no problem. Doors were no problem. They were gathered in the upper room and boom, there He was. And he goes and comes and can do anything. And your body in heaven is going to be so much better. You're going to have a body that never again will experience a pain, a body that never again will be sick, a body that never again will have any need. Thank God for it. A body that will never be tired nor weary, a body, my dear friend, that will always be in the same perfection that Christ is. That's your promise. He's going to give you a body like in His glorious body. And what there's no way to describe that. Can you imagine in your wildest thoughts about being in a body that's not bound by gravity? I mean, you could in that body, you live in a situation where if you want to just rise up, you could rise up. You're not, if you want to go through a wall, you could go through a wall. It's going to be an awesome thing to have a body like that, to have a body like, and Paul said, it is infinitely better than what you've got now. And there's no way to describe it really, he said, except for this, it's going to be a body like in His glorious body. But can I say to you, in heaven, your peace will be far better than it is down here. I'm thankful for the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I've seen it in people's lives. I've seen it in those who have been diagnosed with cancer. I've seen it with those who come down to death's door. I've seen that peace of God that passeth all understanding. But we're going to have a peace there that's far better, because any kind of peace you've ever had here, any kind that you've ever had in this world, it's going to be far better. Because here, constantly, you're battling the world, the flesh, and the devil. And your peace is often riddled with pain. You go through times when there is an anxiousness. He said, you ought to be anxious for nothing, but make your request known to God with thanksgiving. But you know why he said don't be anxious? Because we are anxious. Sometimes we're fearful, and sometimes we don't have peace. Sometimes we do have worry. I don't care how close you get to God and how much you pray and how much you're in this body, this mortal body, this corruptible body, and the mind is deceitful desperately, and we don't understand our flesh and all those things. But there's coming a day that you'll have peace that is uninterrupted peace. Nothing. Not a bad phone call, not a bad word, nothing that troubles you, nothing that you worry about. You'll have perfect peace for all eternity. Far better. Can you imagine what that's going to be? Think about in your life when everything was as perfect as it possibly could be, and most of you would agree it was wonderful, but short-lived. How about this? In heaven, your joy is going to be infinitely more than it is. Now, I have joy. I enjoy living. I enjoy being around people. I enjoy the Word of God, and I do have joy unspeakable. I enjoy that. But I'm going to tell you something. There's also times when we don't have joy, and you don't have joy. There's time when something has stolen our joy. David experienced that when he sinned and disobeyed God, and the Spirit of God dealt with him. He cried out and said, God, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. He didn't lose his salvation, but he lost his joy. I mean, wouldn't it be something to have joy, infinite joy, forever and forever and forever? Never ever again to have any sadness, never again to have any tears, never again to have any of those type of things that come here. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Well, he said, man, I have the joy of the Lord. He said he tells them to rejoice, and again I say to you, rejoice, and he practiced what he preached. But Paul knew there's coming a day that joy wouldn't be a struggle, peace wouldn't be a struggle, that you'd have infinite peace forever, and you'd have infinite joy forever. Oh, can you imagine the far better atmosphere of heaven? I've come into with services and been in services when I could tell the Holy Ghost of God was there. I've heard Brother Mays talk about being in service when God was so real and it got so foggy you'd need a seeing eye dog to get around. It was so much God in that place. Oh, I've been there. I remember one time I went up to preach at Linwood Lakes in Greensboro, and LaVon and the group went with them. They were going to sing that night, Marshall and all them. And we got there, and there was 8 people in the building. And of course, I wasn't discouraged. I just knew we'd have service. And they did a song or two, and then their group, Calvary's Mark, got up to sing. And I tell you about the second word they said, the Holy Ghost of God came in that building. And every song they sang, man, it was just like heaven came down. I mean, such joy and peace, and the atmosphere was wonderful. Now, nobody wasn't thinking about bills. They wasn't thinking about problems. They wasn't thinking about anything else. They were just in a situation where there was only joy and peace and worship and adoration for the Lord. Man, it's awesome. I got up to preach, and I said, I tell you, there could be more people here, but I don't think there'd be any more God in here than's here. It's awesome. But those times are short-lived and far between sometime, but you're going to be in an atmosphere like that forever. And not only that, you travel in areas, and there's some, we were raised in a cotton mill town in Roanoke Rapids. We had 9 cotton mills, and Mama worked in a cotton mill, and Daddy worked in a cotton mill. We all worked in a cotton mill. And then they came and built a big old paper mill down there by the river. It's still there. And they began to take all that wood and make pulp, make paper down there. But if you've ever been around a paper mill, it smells somewhat like 9 skunks that's got mad. Boy, it's a stinkiness. I mean, and when the wind is just right, it came across the whole town. And if it went the other way, it'd cover up gas, and it was the stinkiest stuff you've ever smelled. And you know, but the guys that worked there said, smells like money to us, you know, and they made pretty good money. But you know, I enjoy living where I was living, but when that foul odor came by, man, I want to be somewhere else. But can you imagine the heavenly atmosphere of heaven? I've been some places that, I mean, it was just breathtaking. The air was so clean and crisp. I've told you over and over again about being in Colorado not a couple, 3 years ago, up in Estes Park, up on that mountain, and how it was just surreal. I mean, the cedar trees and the snow and the atmosphere, just such a cleanness about it. And when I was there, I thought, man, this is a little bit like what heaven's going to be like. Can you imagine being ushered out of here tonight, today, and to be in that atmosphere forever? I mean, where there's just the presence of God permeating that place, and the glorified air and the atmosphere in heaven, far better than anything you've ever experienced. But not only that, I think about, I love people. I love to be around people. And we got some of our church family right now who've been isolated basically for 2 years now. And I promise you what they are missing more than anything else as Christians is fellowship. They're missing being around the house of God, being with God's people. But we have to leave here, and shortly we'll go somewhere else and all that. And some of you go to workplaces where there's not much fellowship. You go where there's profanity and just real carnality and wickedness and everything else. That fellowship's not as sweet. But can you imagine being in a situation where the fellowship forever and forever is with those who love and worship the Lord? I mean, listen, to be in that fellowship of the believers, to be in His presence for all eternity, and everybody you meet has the glow of God on them. Everybody you meet, every word they say is just lifting you up, is a blessing, and worshiping Him. The fellowship in heaven is going to be unreal. I mean, I've been around people when I was a little bit awkward. I didn't know them. They didn't know me. There's some people that just, you know, it's hard to make contact with. But then there are others that we just have. It's just a blessing to be in their presence. Wouldn't it be something to be in an environment where everybody you met was like that? I mean, everybody that you knew, everybody you fellowship, and you'll know even as you're known, so you'll know Moses and Elijah and all the Old Testament prophets, all the New Testament, and saints through all the ages, you'll know them. I've never had grandparents. I had them, but I never saw them. They both sides died before I was ever born. Never seen them. But I do know that Mama told me about that they were saved. And to get to see them for all eternity and be in that fellowship with family. Most of you have had families, and you when they're little, everybody's together and you love things, and then, you know, things happen, they get married and things happen, change. You don't get to be together like you used to. You long for those times. My sister, my brother just died, my sister-in-law just died, and I can remember when, even before and then after Regina and I were married, we'd go up to my sister's house at Christmas, and all the family was there. It was just such a happy time. But it hadn't been that way in a long time now. But wouldn't it be something to be in a place where all your loved ones, all the saints of all the ages, and the fellowship lasts forever? You know how Paul described it? He said, it's far better. Far better than anything you've ever had down here. It's infinitely better than any fellowship you've had down here. But primarily worship. Man, I love to be at God's house when God's at home, don't you? When the Holy Ghost of God moves, and you all know and I know, we don't have Him like that all the time. He's always here. He's real. He does different things at different times. But wouldn't it be something to be in a place where worship was real all the time? Man, listen, you think about the saints. Well, I love that choir this morning. I love Brother Dan and them singing. But when the saints of all the ages sing, I'm going to tell you one thing. You'll have a new body, but you'll have Holy Ghost bumps about that high when they get to singing. I'm telling you. Won't it be something when we worship Him? And listen, it won't be a worship in spirit only. It'll be worship in sight. We'll get to see Him and worship in His presence for all eternity. And it'll never get old. Oh, your faults will be better in heaven. And listen, what a wonderful thing. The beauty of heaven will be far more than anything you've ever seen. And salvation will be more understood than you have. I sat there this morning listening to Brother Barry and things that I've preached about, things I've taught about. And Brother Barry wept about Calvary, and wept about what Christ had done for him. I was sitting there on the front going through the same emotions. Oh, there's to think about it. But he said that even before the foundation of the world, he loved us. And I could make that statement, but I can't comprehend it. And the fact that of all the billions of people on the face of the earth, there was one day that he came in the person of the Holy Ghost of God to a little farm, just not even a farm, just a little 10-acre place outside of Roanoke Rapids, out in the country, and a little boy there, and the Holy Ghost of God came, and he made the gospel real to me through a preacher and an evangelist, and he saved me and gave me everlasting life. And I think back over that, think about all he's done for me, and all those things through these years. And as good as it is, when I get to heaven, it'll be far better when I can fully comprehend what He did for me on Calvary and what a price He paid for me and how that He forgave me. And same way with you. Boy, listen, your salvation will be blown out of proportion. It'll be infinite when you realize what He did for us beyond words here, but made real to us there. What a blessing it will be. But can I say to you that in heaven, your love for Christ will be far better than it's ever been. You say, Brother Billy, do you love Him? I do love Him. I do love Him. And there's times that I'm just overwhelmed with His love. But there's times in my life and times occasionally when I know He loves me, but I'm so preoccupied with everything and I love Him, but I don't really express it like I ought to. But in heaven, your love for Him will be far greater than it's ever been. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like that sense of love of the Holy Ghost He sheds abroad in our heart when you know He loves you and you love Him. But when we get to heaven, it's going to be far better than anything we've ever experienced here. Paul begins this wonderful book by writing to the saints there, and he said, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making mention for you, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. You know why he could tell them it's far better? Because they had heard the gospel and they had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he rejoiced that they knew him. Now here's a question. Not are you a member of Benson Grove Baptist Church or anybody else's church. Not have I baptized you or anybody else ever baptized you. But do you know Him? Have you been born again by the grace of God? You'll never get to know how far better heaven is than you have it here unless you trust Him now. You must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to get to go to heaven. And that's how simple it is. He said, he wrote to one church, he said, I marvel that you're so soon moved from the simplicity that's in Christ. It is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But if you made a profession of faith and nothing happened, if you made a profession of faith and walked the aisle and got baptized and there's been no change, if you not had a desire for this Word of God or love for the things of God, I dare say you probably never trusted Him. It was not genuine and real. But if you know Him, the closer you get to heaven, the more homesick you are. To be out of this body and to be in a brand new body one day, but to be in His presence. Oh, how I love Him, and oh, how He loved me. But I am limited in this body to love Him like I want to. But in heaven, my love for Him will be far better than it's ever been. Will you trust Him today? Or you know, do you know that you're saved? If we're going to go to heaven, I think we ought to experience a little heaven down here now. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to be in that worship atmosphere. He wants you to have all those things I've just talked about. It's going to be far better when you get there, but you can experience some of it now. And if you're not experiencing in some degree, then something's bad wrong with you. Not with Him, but with you. Maybe you need to come to the altar and ask Him to take away everything in your mind and heart that hinder your peace and your joy and your love for Him. Heaven's going to be far better. Will you bow with me for prayer? Thank you for listening today. I thank God for the choir today and the congregational singing, Brother Danny. He knows that's one of my favorite songs. I came by the way of the cross. Whew. I can only just imagine that fella when he entered into paradise. The Lord made him a promise, said, today you'll be with me there. And he slipped out before the Lord did. Oh, listen, you think about it. You think about your loved one who left this body and is now present with the Lord. Oh, listen. I don't know how many times I've told my loved ones when Regina and I've been places and we've been in Germany and in other places around the world, in the Philippines and all across America. I tell my family, I wish you could have been there. Wish you could have saw it. You know what I think in heaven they're saying? Boy, they're just looking forward to you being there. But if you don't know Christ, you won't make it. He that hath the Son hath life. Can get any simpler than that. If you have Jesus, heaven's your home. And it's going to be far better. I'm going to tell you right now, I've enjoyed the Christian life. I'm thankful for His peace. I'm thankful for His joy. Thank that He's let me worship, for the beauty He's let me see, the fellowship that I've enjoyed, the truth He showed me in the Word of God. But when I get to heaven, it's going to be infinitely better than anything I've ever had down here. That's why Paul said, I'm in a straight twixt too, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. You feel that way? Let's stand together with our heads bowed. Dear Lord Jesus, You laid this on my heart. And God, somebody needed to hear it. I want to thank You, our Father, for the promise of heaven. It's not pie in the sky by and by. It's real. It's in this Bible. It's what You told us to look for. You said for us to set our affections on things which are above. We're to look toward heaven. Nothing wrong with that. Lord, I'm aware of all that's going on in the world around us. And God, we want to be used of God and be a witness for Christ. And we pray for those that are under in war right now. The horrible devastation, refugees. God, we pray for them. God, in my heart and for the believers, as Paul was living in that day under Roman domination, living in that day when the Jewish community was really against him, he said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Lord, that joy that's in us, that hope that's in us, God, it's a motivator for us to keep busy, not to sit down and twiddle our thumb, but to keep busy for Christ, keep wanting to get our loved ones there, tell our friends about it, our neighbors about it. Oh, God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God to set our souls on fire, our Father, to reach folk for Christ. Now, friends, while we are praying this morning, I'll not keep you long, but I'm just wondering this morning, is there a man or woman, a boy or girl in the building that would say to me, Brother Billy, if I died, if I departed now, I wouldn't go to heaven. I'd be like that man in Luke chapter 16 that said the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. That'll be the lot of every boy and girl, man and woman in this building. If you die without Christ, you'll live right on, but you'll be in a place called hell for all eternity. But if you don't know for sure if you died now, you go to heaven, would you please let me pray for you? I promise you I'm not going to come to you or embarrass you in any way, but I sure would love to pray for you. And while every head's bowed and every eye's closed, nobody's looking, but if you're in the building, you say, Preacher, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven, would you raise your hand? Give me the privilege of praying for you. I'm looking to my right and across the building. Anybody, raise your hand. Boy or girl, say, Preacher, I'm honest this morning. If I died right now, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven, but I want to know that. Will you pray for me across the building? How many of you are Christians this morning? You say, Brother Billy, I may not be like Paul, but there has been times that because of all that's gone on in this world, because of my physical condition, that I do so now long to go to heaven. I have a desire to depart and to be with the Lord, and I know it's going to be far better. Would you raise your hand this morning? God bless you so very much. I pray now, right now, Lord Jesus, that God the Holy Ghost would deal with men and women, boys and girls in this building who may not know Christ. Now, Lord, you saw every heart. I didn't see any hands. Lord, it sure be a blessing if Jesus were to come right now that everybody in this building would leave because they know you. God, I don't know if that's the case. Some maybe did just raise their hand. But I do pray the Holy Ghost of God would deal with them, and you know every one of them. Draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. And I pray, God, for God's people that, Lord, you'd move in a very special way. Thank you for these who are around the altar. And God, I pray as they come, maybe just to ask you to draw them closer to you, to help them, to be faithful to you until we get to go to heaven. God, whatever it is, I pray, God, you'd move in the hearts, and we'll thank you. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, we're going to have one song, just a verse of a song right now. And whatever God leads you to do, I want you to do. You can come around this altar. And would you do this for me this morning? If you're here and you're not saved, will you call in right where you are? Will you ask him to save you? If you're a Christian this morning, I want you to pray for the I Will Stand rally with David Pate down at right down 421 outside of Dunn. Pray for the drama and pray that souls will be saved. Pray for revival. You may do it there. You may come around the altar. But listen to this song and come right now, obey Christ.